Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter, not that anybody would want to get out of it, but, you know, there's, you have to be careful about what you hear nowadays, in any day, you know. You're going to hear, you hear a lot of things. That's why you need to be sound in the faith. That's why you need to know the Scriptures. I pray that this will help you. The Bible tells me, any pastor, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 2, it says that we are to feed the flock of God which is among you. That would be you folks. You're to be edified. And I pray that this will help you in some way, edify you. And I pray the Spirit of God will help us and He'll apply these things to your heart. I want to preach to you from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2 this morning. And let me read those for you. Hebrews chapter 12, I'll read four verses, but I'm taking verse 1 and 2 for a text verse. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 3, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." But I want to take a phrase from verse number 1 there at the very end of the verse. It says, "The race that is set before us." And I want to talk to you about that this morning. The race that is set before us. That race being the Christian life that you have become a part of whenever you get saved. Let us pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon these words. And Father, I pray the Spirit of God would enlighten us and lead us and guide us into all truth. I pray that you bless your people today, God. And I pray the Spirit of God would help me and quicken my mind to bring to my mind the thoughts and illustrations that would be helpful and help me to preach this morning. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, before I say this, I was over the nursery there just a second ago and it's full. And we're working on the nursery. We're enlarging it a little bit over here on this side, making it nice for babies and things like that. And there's not all the babies are not here. There's another one that's not here today. But anyway, we want to do that. Well, maybe we'll have it finished, Brother Yazzie, in about a month. We'll have a grand opening, right? About a month. We'll have a grand opening for the nursery. Amen. I think we're going to work a little bit on the nursery Monday night, if you men can come and help so we can get that done. I think we need to do some texturing on the walls and things like that, okay? All right, so let's get on here, the race that is set before us. Last week, I gave you some things from chapter number 11, the chapter before chapter number 12 here. We had some things from the Bible there about faith. Hebrews chapter number 11 is the faith chapter, and it tells us, the writer tells us there, he gives us examples of faith from the Old Testament. We had people there from Noah and Enoch and Abel all the way over to Moses. Had a lot of people told us some things about faith. And then we were reading there in Hebrews chapter number 11 about verse number 35 about people that would actually be in this age, maybe 1,000 years ago or something, who people who were being tortured and persecuted. And I might remind you about this, about people being tortured and persecuted, that Baptists, of which we are Baptists, we are Bible-believing Baptists, have never persecuted people in history. They have never persecuted people in history for what they believed or for any other reason. We don't teach that sort of thing, but they have been the ones who have been persecuted a lot down through history. People who believe just like you and just like me. And now I might say also that a lot of times people might feel like they're being persecuted because of some of the preaching that Baptists do. They may feel like they're persecuted, but I'm talking about physically. We don't persecute people, but Baptist people have been persecuted down through history. Back over there on that wall over there, there's a picture of a Baptist preacher being beaten back in the 1600s, I think. There's probably a date on that. He's one of the first men to suffer persecution in the United States, probably in the 13 original colonies, and suffered persecution because for the horrible crime of preaching the gospel. That's why he was beaten there. And he was beaten by Protestants, by the way, if you know what Protestants are. We're Protestants, all right, in one sense. Protestants, in one way, are people who have came out of the Catholic Church because of false doctrine. They protested against the doctrine that was preached. And we do that. We preach against the false doctrines no matter where they are, but we were never a part of the Catholic Church, you see. So we didn't come out of the Catholic Church. Baptist Bible believers like this have always been around. And so persecution there, it was in the text last week is the reason that I mentioned it. And so in chapter number 11 of Hebrews, chapter number 11, verse number 35, it said, let me read for you a little bit, verse number 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And so I preached to you last week, about a better resurrection. And these people chose not to accept deliverance so that they might obtain a better resurrection. In other words, whenever they saw the Lord, they wanted something better than they would have if they would have denied Jesus Christ or if they would have accepted deliverance. They want some rewards whenever they see the Lord, you see. They want to hear from Jesus Christ. They want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I think about that all the time. I want to hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you see. That's the kind of resurrection that they wanted. Now, as we come down to chapter number 12 of the book of Hebrews, he gives us a picture here of a cloud of witnesses that are looking on as we run the race of life. So he says there in verse number 1 of chapter 12, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That's an illustration. That's an illustration of like a Colosseum where these Old Testament saints, and I don't think that they're really actually able to see us, probably not, but he's using that as an illustration where Old Testament saints are looking on as you, a New Testament saint, you run the race of life, you see. So it's an illustration, and it says the Christian life is like a race. The end of verse number 1, it says there, the race that is set before us. Christian life is like a race. I turn back a little bit to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7. Here's what Paul said when he came down to the end of his life. I read for you in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 7. Here's where Paul is about to, his life is about to end. And he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So you see, God has a course for you. He's got a course that he wants you to run. Your course is not my course. Mine is not the same as yours. Paul says, I've fought a good fight. It's kind of like life is. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. He's come down to the end of his life. I have kept the faith. That should be the desire and the goal of every one of us, that we would finish the course that God has laid out for us. Finished it. Some people, they drop out of the race. They never finish the course. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. When I was in the Army, many years ago, they would have us, double time. Call it double time. You know, you're running with your pack on your back and your rifle on your arm and all that kind of stuff. And I never did think it was hard, but a lot of people thought it was really hard. And whenever they got hot and start sweating and everything, and after you run for a while, well, they start dropping out. You know, they start dropping out like flies. You know, they fall in by the wayside, and you try to go along and pick them up, and put their arm around your shoulder and try to get them to keep on and stay in the race, you see. Well, I never did fall out. I've done a lot of other falling out and different kind of different times, but I didn't fall out then. That's kind of like the way life is. Life is like a race. It's a fight, and God has a course that He wants us to run. He says the race that is set before us. You see, the race of life is not like a sprint. A sprint, you know, you run real fast for 50 yards, 25 yards, 75 yards, 100 yards or something like that, then it's over. It's not like that. It's a marathon. Man, it just goes on and on. That's the way life is. It just, you know, until you die, you're in a race. Whenever I was young, 16, 17, 18, I could run sprint real fast. You know, for my favorite race was 440. I believe it was 440 yards, something like that. I think that's about a quarter of a mile. I could sprint real fast. But nowadays, I don't do any sprinting. If I can just walk real fast, I think I'm doing good. If I can just walk fast, I'm doing good, you know, without stumbling or falling down or something like that. I think I'm doing good. But see, life is a marathon. When you're in the race of life, sometimes people fall out. You might fall out. You might fall down. But you know what? The good thing about the race of life is you can always get back up. It's not like a sprint, you know, where if you fall out, then, you know, it's over. You know, you might as well quit. No, it's not like that. The race of life, you fall down. You do something wrong and you fall out. And I've fallen out before, folks. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16, it says this, "For a just man falleth seven times." That's talking about a just man, a saved man. A just man falls seven times, but he rises up again. You see, if you fall out a little bit, if you fall by the wayside, you can get back into the race, you see. There's a verse in the Bible that says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll let you come back in. He'll let you get back in the race. He's not going to cast you off, you see. He's not going to do away with you because you fall out, you see. And so life is like a race, and if you fall out, you can get back in. Now, in the race of life here, it says here, the race that is set before us. I want to show you three things that I find in this verse. Number one, there are hindrances in the race of life. Number two, there are hardships in the race of life. And number three, there is help in the race of life, you see. I'm talking about Christians this morning. Look at me. I'm talking about somebody who's been saved. If you're not saved this morning, this may not be just a message about being saved, but you can get saved because Jesus Christ wants you to be saved. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants people to be saved. He has sent His Son who laid down His life on the cross and bore your sins in His own body on the tree so that you could miss hell and so that you can have eternal life and live forever. He wants you to be saved. And so even though I may not be preaching just about being saved, you can be saved. That's why Jesus came. He wants you to be saved. He died for all men. He didn't die just for a certain class. He didn't die for good people. The Bible says He died for the ungodly. Well, that would include me. I don't know about you, but that would certainly include me. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Would that include you? Well, He died for those kinds of people. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, He says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Lost people who are in the dark, who have done all kinds of evil things. That's all of us. That's why He came. He came to die for sinners. He came to bear our sins, to suffer and die in my place. He died a substitutionary death on a cruel, rugged cross so that I could have my sins forgiven and I would not go to hell whenever I breathe my last breath. So you can be saved. He wants you to be saved. In this Christian life, number one, there are hindrances. There are things that hinder us. Look in verse number one. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Great a cloud of witnesses. Who would that be? That'd be all these people here in Hebrews chapter number 11. That'd be Moses. That'd be Abraham. That'd be Noah. That'd be all these people. That'd be Rahab. That'd be David. That'd be Samuel. That'd be Jephthah. All these people that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith they did this. By faith they crossed the Red Sea. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith all these things happened, you see. He says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He's giving us an illustration like in a Colosseum. And we're running around the track. We're on the race of life. And they've already been there. They've already run the race of life. And they're cheering us on. Now, like I'm saying, I don't think they can see us up in heaven. But he's giving us an illustration there. We're on the race of life like on a track. And you got to follow the rules and run the race. Run the course that God has laid out for you. I've got a course. I've got a race that God's laid out for me to run. And you've got a race that God's laid out for you to run. All of us, we have different races, you see. And we're supposed to run the race of life. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, these people, they're gathered around and they're watching us, cheering us on, you see. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, he says, the hindrances, let us lay aside every weight. A weight, it's not a sin, but it's something that slows you down. Something that will hinder you from being what God would have you to be, you see. All of us, we have hindrances in our life. Whenever I was thinking about this, I was thinking like this. It's most of us have too much to do. We've got more to do than we need to do. And it hinders us. I don't know about you. But are you busy in life? I mean, man, I'm busy. I'm booked up for the next 10 years. I may be booked up for the next 15 years. I am so tired of being in a hurry. My wife tells me to speed up when we're coming to church. You know, we're going to be late. I don't want to, man. I'm tired of being in a hurry. I've been in a hurry for 60 years. I want to just poke along, you know. I want to drive in my car and drive about 25 miles an hour. I want to look at all the sights. I want to look in the field. And, you know, I grew up on a farm and, you know, I'm a farmer. I want to notice the cows and all that kind of stuff, you see. I'm sick and tired of being in a hurry. But I'm in a hurry all the time. I never get finished. Over and over, week after week. And by the way, folks, the older you get, the worse it gets. I keep on thinking, one of these days, things are going to get back to normal, and I won't be in such a hurry. Guess what? They never get back to normal. This is normal. Normal is being in a hurry, and I don't even have any kids at home, see? I don't even have any kids at home, but yet I'm still more busy than I've ever been in my life. I've got cows to feed. I've got field to plow. I've got this to do, and I've got that to do. And by the way, when you get older, you get slower. You know, you don't get faster when you can get more done. So see what y'all got to look forward to? As you get older, you get slower, you see. And you don't get it done near as fast. I've got so much to do, it hinders us. You can't do everything. Why not do the best things so that you will not be hindered? I told you last week, we need to order our life because you're going to see Jesus one of these days. You're going to stand before Him. Jesus Christ who died for you on the cross. And you want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And a lot of things that we think are so important down here on earth are not going to amount to anything up there. You see? You see? So I want to try to do the best things and not do everything. So in so doing, I have to put aside some things. I have to put them aside. I've got some cows out there and some calves that need to be fed. But if time comes that I have to come and do the Lord's work, my cows won't get fed. My calves, they're going to miss a meal. They'll live. It won't hurt them. Kind of like me. If I miss a meal, it ain't going to hurt me. If you miss a meal, it ain't going to hurt you, folks. You ain't going to die. If you miss a meal, you're not going to die. You're not going to fall over suddenly. I missed a meal. You know, if you don't get a full meal, you know, you're not, if you just eat twice a day, you'd probably be all of us be better off. You see, you don't have to eat three. Where did that come from anyway? Three times a day or four or five times a day. I say to myself, I like to munch all day. See, I get crackers and cookies and all that kind of stuff, you know. But see, it won't hurt you. It won't hurt you. You might be blessed because of it. I'm saying things that we might think are important and we think we must do them. It may be that's just a hindrance. You need, and I need, to order our life so that we can serve God. You see, don't get yourself so busy and do a whole bunch of things that you are completely unable. Jesus Christ established a church when he was here upon the earth, and he intends for us to come and be of service to others in his church. He wants you to be saved first. He wants you to get baptized, and he wants you to be built up in the Holy Scriptures, you see. And if we're too busy to do those things, we let those hindrances get in the way. The first thing that's a hindrance, number one, is weight, the things that slow us down. Number two, it's sin. You'll notice in that verse there. Let us lay aside every weight, that's number one, and the sin which does so easily beset us. The sin. Let me ask you something. Do you have a besetting sin? A lot of people do. I would say probably most of us do. Something that just surrounds you, besets you, besieges you, and makes it so that you can't do anything for the Lord. You have to get rid of that. Let us lay aside every weight, something that slows you down, and the sin that does so easily beset us. You see, get rid of the sin. You have to look at your life, examine your life. Lord, help me to get rid of that sin. He'll help you to get rid of it. I've got a bunch of them probably. I've got a bunch of them. The sin which does so easily beset us. So that, the last phrase of verse number one, so that we can run the race that he has set before us. You see, notice how he says it. Run the race that is laid out there, for set out there for you. And by the way, whenever people get off the track, God's got another race for you. He'll put you back in the race. It might not be doing exactly the same thing. See, sometimes people get out and they miss God's best for them. Did you know that?
That's right.
They miss God's best for them. Why? Because they just fell out of the race and they fell into sin. So they got to get back up and dust themselves off and, Lord, I'm here again, and God, I'm ready to get in the race. Help me. Let me tell you something. If you stay in the race, your life will be much more blessed. There's no telling what will happen to your life if you don't stay in the race. If you don't stay in the race. Hindrances. Number two, there are hardships. Hardships. I get that where he said, let us run with patience. Isn't that what he said? Let us run with patience. Last part of verse number one. Let us run with patience. You know what patience is? That's endurance. That means whenever things get hard in life, whenever death comes, whenever all kinds of other things, whenever you have financial difficulties, whenever you have health problems, whenever it's hard for you to walk, whenever it's hard for you to get up, whenever all these things that seem like come in your life, and if you don't have any of them now, you will have some of them. Whenever all these things, whenever your kids rebel against you, whenever all these things come in your life, let us run with patience. That means endurance. That means don't fall out of the way. That means don't stop. That means don't quit, you see. Why? Because we live, folks, in a sin-cursed world. We don't live in a perfect world, and we're not perfect. You see, hardships. You see, that's what comes in the race of life. Let us run with patience. Let us run with endurance. Let us keep on. And let us help other people. Because we're all going to see Jesus. We're going to see the Lord one of these days. And we want to hear Him say. So whenever those things come, whenever you have financial problems, family troubles, and all that kind of stuff, there's a man in the Bible, and we talked about him Wednesday night. His name is Saul of Tarsus. He later became Paul the Apostle. But I was talking to you Wednesday night about why did God choose Saul of Tarsus to be Paul the Apostle, to take the gospel to the Gentiles. You know why? Because he saw in Paul a man, Brother Yazzie, who would not quit. And that's what he needed. I need someone who will not quit. And so he chose Saul of Tarsus. He was a man who was out trying to get, he's like a bounty hunter. He's out trying to get Christians, tie them up, throw them in jail. Some of them were killed. And he was zealously, he thought he was doing God's work. But it turned out he was doing just the opposite of what he should have done. And he was saved on the road to Damascus, you see. And God chose this man. Why did he choose him? So that he'd have a man there when all these troubles and things would come upon him, he would not quit. So in the race of life, number one, there are hindrances. Number two, there are hardships. And look at verse number three, there is some help. There is some help. As you're running the race of life, it says in verse number two, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. As you're running the race of life, I never have run hurdles or anything like that. As I said, all I could do, if I could do anything, it'd just be run a straight line. You know, that's all I could do. I couldn't play basketball because I couldn't dribble and talk at the same time. Or dribble and, I couldn't shoot a jump shot. I couldn't do it. Now my son Jeff, man, he's a good basketball player. And my son Clayton, man, they were good. When they were together, man, I'll tell you what, you couldn't hardly beat them. Jeff, he was tall and he could shoot good. And Clayton, he wasn't quite as tall, but he was so fast, man. I mean, he was lightning fast. And he would run up behind the other team and he'd steal the ball from him just like before they knew what they were doing. And they were good. They could shoot. I was their teacher and I couldn't shoot a jump shot. I taught them how to play, but I couldn't play. I don't know how to play. I can't shoot a goal. I can't jump and shoot at the same time. I don't know how to do it. I'm not coordinated enough, I guess, you see. But what was I thinking about? What am I preaching about, folks? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. As you're running the race of life, you've got some help down at the end. Did you know that Jesus will get you through? And He'll get you to the other side. You see? As you're running the race of life. Oh, what I was thinking about. I've been thinking back in my mind. What was I thinking about? I was thinking about when you're running the race and you're running hurdles. I think the way it works is, you know, when you're running on the track, you don't look at each hurdle as you jump over it. You look down here at the goal down here. Am I right, folks? Don't you look way down there and then you just go over those hurdles? You see, that's what we're supposed to do in life. You're supposed to keep your eyes on Jesus down here, way out there, because He's at the end of the track. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See, as you run the race of life, every day, folks, every day, you better honor Jesus Christ. Are you saved today? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? If you're not saved, you need to get saved today. But if you're saved today, I ask Brother Butler every Sunday morning for a while to sing, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." Man, it sounded good this morning, didn't it? First song, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name," brother, because He's the Savior. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's coming back one day. He's going to sit upon a throne from Jerusalem. He's going to rule and reign over the earth for 1,000 years of peace on the earth, you see. Amen. And He's our Savior. If you're saved this morning, then we are supposed to honor and glorify and magnify the name of Jesus. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, you see. You need to look unto Jesus every single day. Every day. I fail all the time. I fail all the time. But he'll let you. Whenever we fail, He knows what we're made out of. You know, we're made out of flesh. Amen. We've got this old flesh hanging on us. Now see, if you're saved this morning, there's a new man on the inside. There's a new man created in righteousness. There's a new man in there. But the outside is this old flesh. You see, that's what causes us to do. We want our way. Now, let's tell you something, folks. We're all made out of the same stuff. And even though a lot of times we know what we ought to do, but there's just, there's something this flesh is, no, you don't want to do it. I just hate that stuff. You know, the flesh is always like it's always there opposing you, opposing what you want to do right, you see. The flesh is always there. You're going to have to fight and battle that flesh as long as you live. Amen. You will. Every one of us. So we're made out of the same stuff. All of us, you see. I'm telling you, in the Christian life, as you run the race, there is some help. And that help is Jesus Christ. Amen. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Right. And then look at the next phrase in verse number 2. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Can you imagine Jesus Christ considering that old rugged cross to be joy? You know why He thought it was joy? Because He looked way down there. He looked way down there and He saw somebody getting saved. He saw John Wynn getting saved. He saw Miss Yazzie getting saved. He saw Sal and Nicole getting saved. He saw Brother Yazzie getting saved. He saw John getting saved. He saw you getting saved. And He said, it's worth it. I will endure the cross, you see. He looked down there and He saw you getting saved. That's what brought Him joy. That's what kept Him on the cross. He could have come down, but He didn't come down. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We could talk on that. The author. He's the one to come up with it. He's the author. Who in the world could come up with salvation except God? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, whew, man, I mean, lashes on the back, Brother Yazzie, spear in his side, crown of thorns on his head, people spitting on him. He considers that joy. Who for the joy that was set before Him. That was His race. The race that is set before you, He had a race set before Him. It was the cross. Who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He endured it. Man, I'm going to go through the cross. And He did it. And nobody, the devil, nor the demons of hell could keep Him from going to the cross. He endured the cross, despising the shame. And then look at the last phrase. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. You know what He's doing right now? Jesus Christ sitting down. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's making intercession for you if you're saved this morning. Most of you are saved. He's making intercession for you. He's praying for you. You see. He's your advocate. He's standing up for you when the devil comes and accuses you. He said you can't touch them unless God gives him permission. You can't touch them unless God gives him permission. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I don't have time to preach about it, but He's sitting down at the right hand of God's throne. Now listen carefully, you need to get this. But one day, Jesus Christ will have His own throne. He's sitting with God in His throne today, at the right hand. to make intercession for you and for me. But praise God, one day when he comes again, he'll have his own throne. It'll be in Jerusalem. It won't be in New York City. It won't be in Hong Kong. It won't be in Rio de Janeiro. It won't be in Waka, Texas. It won't be in Spearman, Texas. No, it's going to be in Jerusalem. And he will rule over the earth for 1,000 years. Now, don't you want to be with him? The Bible says you can rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Then you'll go to heaven, your eternal destination, the New Jerusalem, see. But amen, look, the starting point is you got to get saved. Come and accept Christ today as your Savior. He'll give you eternal life. You see, it's free. Jesus paid for it. He paid for it on the cross. And he wants you to have it. He wants you to be saved. If you're convinced that you're lost and you admit that you're a sinner and you can't save yourself, then you're a candidate. But if you think you're a pretty good person and I just don't need that stuff, then you're not a candidate. But when you come to the point, and you will one of these days, where you realize that you're going to hell if you don't get saved, then you'll become a candidate. Jesus died for you and he wants you to be saved. Amen. The rest of you, look, let's stay in the race. Let's be faithful. God has many blessings for us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Let me ask you.